Before we get into anything, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you so much for clicking on my podcast, and I hope that you stay to listen to the rest of it. I'm JJ. For all intents and purposes, I am living my dream, working and living in the city of Toronto with my pup Organicus. Now, that being said, anyone who's ever attained a dream knows that the one that you imagined in your head is totally a romanticized fantasy of what real life would be when you attain that dream. In your daydream, you can only ever see the good things, and it's way harder to imagine the new stresses and the new problems that you'll need to deal with when you get there. Some of the things you can expect to hear about: the current state of my life in approximately 5 minutes, which has its exciting moments, but most of the time is pretty boring. At the very least, you can be entertained by my perspective on it, because my friends sure are. Food. Probably my favorite topic of all time. So, new food things that I've tried and loved, tried and hated, and of course the ones on my wish list. And more recent development, tips and revelations on my journey to live a less wasteful and more sustainable life. Worst case, or neutral case, no one will ever hear this. But best case, someone might feel inspired, or maybe they'll learn something, or maybe they'll just feel a little less alone after hearing about how I'm navigating my dream. Hey guys, real quick before we jump into this podcast, I just want to remind you that if you're looking for anything that I mentioned in this podcast, like if I mentioned a book or a restaurant or a store, anything like that, I will always link it in the show notes on my website. If you need additional information, please feel free to head over there at jjgotthis.com after you listen to the rest of this episode, of course. I usually like to use this time at the start of my podcast to talk about the current state of affairs in my life, but I think what I'd rather do today is talk about the equipment that I use to make this podcast and also the tips that I found the most helpful in this beginning stage of me being a noob at podcasting, because I was really uncomfortable with the idea for a long time. My bus friend will attest to this because she's told me many times that I should try podcasting over the 15, 16 years that we've been best friends. I thought that it was pretty daunting. I thought that it was going to be overwhelming. I wasn't comfortable yet in myself to do it, and now just seems to be the right time. But I think another reason why I was reluctant to do it is because of what would be involved in it. I'm like, oh, how many things do I have to buy? How much equipment do I need? And then how much time do I have to spend to really even just get a grasp on how to put together a podcasting track? And spoiler alert, it really wasn't as hard as I was making it seem. So I'll just tell you for starters the equipment that I'm using. First, obviously I needed a microphone, and I'm using the Blue Snowball Ice Condenser microphone. It's black. I got it off of Amazon for $59.99 last year. I checked, and it's still $59.99 now. Also, I just want to mention before I continue that I didn't go out and buy this stuff right now. If you need to make that investment and you want to make that investment, do that. But I didn't go out and buy all of this stuff specifically for podcasting. Most of it I already had from before. I want to make sure to put this disclaimer in because I am guilty of when I get interested in something, when I find like a new hobby, I dive right in and then I buy a whole bunch of stuff after doing research, of course, but I buy a whole bunch of stuff and I'm like, I'm going to buy all this stuff, and then that means that I'm going to have to be committed to this thing because I've made the investment. And that works for some people. That works for me most of the time, but I wouldn't suggest it, especially if you have a history of not following through. So let's just say you do need a microphone. Check with your friends, see if they have a microphone, or try the website Buns to see if you can trade something for a microphone. Long story short, just make sure that you think consciously before you go and make these purchases and see if there is a less wasteful and possibly cheaper way for you to do it. So yes, I mentioned the microphone that I'm using. I am also using headphones. These, again, are headphones that I had before. They're headphones that I use like when I'm walking to listen to music, whatever. So I didn't buy them purposely for podcasting. But they are the Edifier W8200 Oh no, that's not 200. I can't read my own writing. It's a W820. B as in Bob, T as in Tom. Bluetooth headphones, and they were $67.99. I also got them off of Amazon. For me personally, I like to buy stuff off of Amazon, especially when it comes to electronics, specifically for their return policy. Because especially when I'm buying something that's more expensive and I don't know if I'm going to like it or not, I like knowing that if I don't like it, I can return it to Amazon within 30 days. I have Amazon Prime. I'm not sure if that return policy differs if you don't have Amazon Prime, but yeah, look into it. And yeah, I have my microphone, my headphones, I have my computer, of course, which is a 2010 13-inch MacBook Pro, still going strong. And then the software that I'm using, I've mentioned it before, is Audacity. That's a free software that you can download from their website. So to date, all of the equipment that I'm using, I already had and didn't cost me anything. One note that I want to say about the headphones, which is something that my friend who is an expert at editing audio told me. I didn't realize this, but I was using my, like, these Bluetooth headphones, and I was using them on Bluetooth. But he mentioned to me that whenever you're editing audio, that you should plug in using an aux cord, an auxiliary cord, because otherwise with the Bluetooth, you are experiencing a delay, so you're not getting the true sound of the audio. So I am using the Edifiers, but I have them plugged in with the auxiliary cord. Actually, that worked out pretty well, because that was one of my tips that you should, actually it's not my tip, it's his tip, but you should plug in to your computer when you're editing audio. Something that I want to talk about is that people are always going to have comments about what you're doing. Everything that you do. Like, there's always going to be people who have something to say. But I feel like, not just in this podcast, but in anything that I do, I've learned to just go with my gut and accept constructive criticism wherever it may come from, but also to acknowledge that at the end of the day, it's how I feel that's important. And if I am enjoying something, if I feel like it is coming from my heart, then it's 9 out of 10? No, I'm going to say 10 out of 10, because it's always seemed to be the right thing for me to do in my experience. Take whatever people say about you, about what you're doing, with a grain of salt. Usually it says more about them than it does about you. But in terms of constructive criticism, I know that when I speak, this is a part of the quirks of my personality, my speech like changes in terms of speed and also changes in terms of volume, depending on how excited or non-excited or secretive I am about what I'm saying. So while I will do my best, and I am doing my best to try to be conscious of that, I'm totally doing that right now. It is a work in progress, so I accept that I will do my best, but I'm not going to beat myself up about it every time I listen to this audio and I notice that I'm yelling or shrieking or my voice is too low or I got excited, whatever. It is what it is. The same goes for my use of filler words like so or like or I know that I do them. I'm trying my best. I even spend a lot of time going back through this audio and editing them out. But I'm not going to get so inside of my head about it that I can't be myself. I'm sorry if that bothers you. If it does and it's going to deter you from enjoying this podcast, then please do yourself a favor and do me a favor and just stop listening. You can probably find something better to do with your time. I think about my favorite YouTubers and my favorite podcasters that I like listening to, and they use those things, and I don't hate them for it. I still enjoy listening to their content. I promise I'll do my best to work on it, but I'm also not going to get too caught up about it. The thing is, this is my journey, just like your journey is your own, and I'm inviting you to be a part of it and experience it with me, selfishly and also not selfishly. I know that I'm going to keep working at this, and like with everything, it'll get better in time. Besides confidence and a little bit of courage or maybe stupidity, another thing that you might want for your podcast is some royalty-free music. Now, there are lots of websites that I found online where you can sign up for a subscription to use royalty-free music. But something that I didn't know, which my friend who edits audio mentioned to me, is that you can get royalty-free music from YouTube. So I'm just going to go onto the YouTube website right now so I can walk you through where to click to find it. you will go first to where your little picture is for your account on the youtube.com website. So in the upper right-hand corner, so you're going to click on yourself. And then if you scroll down to the third option, it says YouTube Studio. So I'm going to click on that. Watch my internet be hella slow right now because I'm recording this. No, it's okay. So then now it brings me up to the YouTube Studio dashboard. I can see my little picture of myself, the name of my channel, which I don't have a channel, but anyway. I will scroll down on that first menu to Audio Library, and then I'll click on Audio Library. It's going to open a new window, and in that window there's all this free music, and you can search by genre or mood or instrument or duration and also attribution. So all of this is royalty free. Some of them you can use without having any attribution anywhere, and then some of them when you click on the song it will say that you can use it, but you have to make sure that you include this copy that they give you, the copy that says who to attribute the music to. And then there's also sound effects. I haven't looked too closely into that yet, but the music that is currently on this podcast I did find off of YouTube Studio. So that's a pretty cool option, which I didn't even know existed or didn't even know. Yeah, I didn't know existed. I don't know why I'm trying to say that in more than one way. And my friend told me about it. Super awesome, super helpful. So the last thing that I want to mention that in hindsight I would have found super helpful is while there are tons of tutorials that you can find online, like on YouTube, and I was watching some on Skillshare on how to edit sound in Audacity, it's also important that you look up what each of those parameters mean that the person is telling you to edit. Because what I did at first, and if you listen to my episode one podcast, yes, I did record that on my phone, which also contributed to the lower sound quality. But then I went and just edited the three things that this initial tutorial told me to edit without even really understanding what I was doing. And that's not even to say that now I have a super expertise kind of understanding of what those things mean, but I do have a better understanding of what they mean. Because after I jacked up that audio, then I decided to go and look up what each of those parameters meant, and it helped me in editing the next podcast. What that tutorial told me to edit was, not told me, you know what I mean. What that tutorial mentioned to edit was three things: to look at the noise reduction, to look at normalization, and also to look at compression. So first thing, I don't know why I did compression, like it just totally jacked up my sound. I don't understand enough to be able to do that, so I've stopped doing that when I'm editing audio. The next thing was normalization, and that wasn't too bad. There's only like two parameters that you can change on there. I just left it as is, and the sound did improve. What normalization basically does, if I understand it correctly, is to basically even out your sound. So for someone like me who gets super excited and talks really loud or high at some points, that really helps to even out my track as a whole. But the last thing, and this is the one that I found the most confusing, but now that I understand how to use it, or I understand a little bit more how to use it, it's the most beneficial. So that is the noise reduction. So on the noise reduction, there are three parameters that you can change. And what I was doing is I was like, oh, I want this to be kind of the most sensitive as possible, and I want it to take out all of the background noise. Speaking of background noise, it's like a super windy, like hella snowstorm or ice storm kind of going on outside right now. So if you hear some like banging or rattling at any point in this track, which let's be honest, I'm probably not going to be able to edit out, it's because there is like a whole bunch of shit blowing around and rattling outside. But yeah, anyway, back to the noise reduction. So I put the slider on those parameters all the way at the end without knowing what they meant. And then after, when I fucked up my sound, I went back and I Googled what each of those parameters meant, and I found this one little note in my Google search that basically said, you want to set those parameters at the lowest possible setting that will allow you to reduce the noise without distorting the rest of your audio. Because if you, like, whatever you are doing to reduce the noise, yes, it's reducing the background noise, but it's also gonna end up distorting or making changes to the noise that you do want. So that's why you want to find the lowest possible setting to those parameters that's going to take out as much of the white noise, background noise as possible, but without taking away the sound quality on the part of your recording that you want to keep. How I got around that is that I basically started playing with the parameters and previewing, and I did a couple kind of trial and errors to see the point where I reduced as much of the background noise as possible, but it didn't change the way my voice sounded too much. And guys, like, it was probably less than 20% of where I initially had it when I jacked up my fucking sound. I've learned a lot of things in the last week while I've been trying to figure out how to just get a basic understanding of recording and editing this podcast, but those are just things that I feel would have been the most beneficial for me to know at the beginning, but of course there's no way that I could have known it unless I tried it. So maybe this will help you from making those mistakes and fucking up your episode number one audio. I wanted to spend a little bit of time just going over some of the face and body care items that I've been using to try to be less wasteful. So first thing is, I previously was using liquid body wash. I like liquid body wash. My favorite one is the Jason's Lavender Body Wash. I don't know, the lavender scent on that is so intense. It comes in a giant container. I think it's like almost a 1 liter container for usually $9.99, and it lasts me a good couple months, that container. But of course, I've been trying to use less plastic, so I needed another solution in terms of body cleansing, and I was looking at the Naked soaps. So I got, excuse the noise here, I have it wrapped in paper, or I have a bit of it wrapped in paper. I got this Naked soap, like that's the brand, Naked Body, and I got it from the Vegan Imperative, which is on Queen Street. I will link it, don't worry. And it is a rosemary lavender. Of course it's lavender. I just like lavender everything. Like, my deodorant is lavender, my soap is lavender, the body wash was lavender. I'm into lavender. I have a thing. It's lavender rosemary, and it's got these little rosemary bits on the tip of them. And it smells... Okay, so that noise was Gannicus shaking himself up from his nap. Sorry about that. Yeah, it smells really nice. Oh, Gannicus is here smelling it with me. Is that what you like? Okay. And one thing that I like to do with my soap bars is I don't use the whole bar in the bathroom. Even if it's a face bar, I don't use the whole bar on my soap dish because I find that it disintegrates faster. So, and I don't want the whole thing to get wet. So I'll just slice a piece of it off. So right now, this Naked bar, I sliced it into 3 pieces. And right now I have the other 2 pieces wrapped up in this paper, so that when the one in my shower is done, then I will take one of these other ones out of the paper. But this way I don't end up using the entire soap bar, and then, you know, it gets like all crumbly, and then like it just ends up getting wasted. So yeah, I'm not doing that anymore. I sliced a piece off. And then the other thing that I'm using in terms of face wash, I had always used a face wash in some kind of bottle. I was using the Alba Botanicals Hawaiian Pineapple exfoliating face wash before. Of course, it comes in a plastic bottle. I loved it. It worked very well, but it comes in a plastic bottle. So now I am using the Cebu Sea Buckthorn Face and Body Bar. And it was, I think, $9.99. I got it from well.ca, but it came in a cardboard package, no plastic packaging. So that's good because we can recycle the cardboard. And again, same thing. I slice a piece of it off, and then I leave the rest of it wrapped in paper in my cupboard so that I don't end up soaking up the entire bar. I don't know what to say this smells like. I feel like it smells like earth and oranges. Is that what sea buckthorn smells like? I don't know. That's what this thing smells like. So yeah, that's my face and my body soap. The other thing that I am doing, or that I've started to do, is that I'm saving all of the soap bits. So this is not my idea. I saw it on Geet Mary Johansson's YouTube, one of her YouTube videos. So she was talking about how, you know, well, you know, when you're... Oh, someone's getting upset here. Please hold. All right, I'm back now. basically all of that rattling that I mentioned in the storm was really disturbing Ganicus, and he got a little bit upset, but now he's snuggled back in his blanket, so we should be able to proceed. Where was I? I was talking about how Geet Mary Johansson mentioned that she saves her little soap bits. Like, you know, you always end up with soap bits, and then they're so small that you cannot actually use them to soap your body. So she saves her soap bits in a container, and then eventually she will melt them all down in a double boiler and make, like, a new mixed soap. And I was like, oh, that's a really cool idea. I'm going to do that. So in addition to me slicing off little slivers of my face soap and my body soap, I also am saving my soap bits in a little Lush container. And that actually brings me to this bag of containers. So in my bathroom, I keep all of the little plastic containers that I might need to or might want to reuse for something in the future. So I have my Lush tins. Obviously, I am going to reuse those or else I wouldn't have bought them. But then I also save the black Lush pots, which I'm not sure if they still do this. I think they do, where if you bring in 5 of the black pots, you can get a free face mask. I have way more than 5 here, but I just never actually go into the Lush store because I usually buy them online. So I think at some point I would like to go in and try a new face mask. But yeah, for now I have like 7 Lush black pots in here. And I also have this big container that some kind of supplement was in. I don't remember what. But it's like a 500 gram plastic container. And I think it would be good for when I finish the moisturizer that I'm using now, that I can make a mix of shea butter and cocoa butter and coconut oil, which is, it's a one-to-one mixture. Again, not my recipe. I saw it on Geet Mary Johansson's page, but I feel like this is a good container to hold that in. And yeah, I'm just saving. Oh wait, there's a little lip pot in here. So there's like a little lip balm was in a tin, and I have that saved in here. And then I also have some glass bottles that have the little dropper in them. I don't know why. A lot of skincare that I get, I usually get from The Ordinary, and they come in those little glass bottles. So I save those as well. They're good for, you know, if you need to travel, or sometimes, I don't know, I just need to put things in smaller containers for some reason. Maybe because like it comes in a bigger container or doesn't come in a container. So I save all of those for future use. Oh, another thing that I wanted to mention. So this is not my tip either. I don't know if she got it from somewhere, but I got it from my grandmother, because I remember when we were younger, she would always take those pink Johnson & Johnson baby lotion bottles, and she would cut them in half with a knife so that you could get all of the product that was inside. And, you know, any of those products that are like squeezable or have a soap pump. So I always learned to cut open my bottles. So that's what I'm doing now. Like even with any conditioner, leave-in conditioner, whatever, anything that comes in the plastic bottles, especially when it comes to body care, I cut it open with a scissor so that I can scoop out all of the product that's inside. And yes, it comes in plastic, and I'm going to quote unquote recycle the plastic and put it in the recycle bin. But I don't want to do it with throwing out the product that's already in there. So I've always done that to get the excess product out of containers. And I think you should do that too, because you would be surprised at how much is still left in the container when the pump thingy stops working. That's where I'm at right now with minimizing my wastage in terms of body care. If you take nothing else from what I've said, just cut open your plastic containers. It could be conditioner, it could be body lotion, gel, I don't know. Anything that you have in terms of a beauty product that comes in a plastic container, when that pump stops working, cut that container. You're welcome. Yo, if you're still here, thank you. Seriously, everyone knows that I rarely give out cookies, but if you're still here, fuck. You can have all of the cookies that are buried in the bottom of my cold, black heart. And if for some reason you just can't get enough of me, cause I'm so cute and wise, kidding, not really. Feel free to follow me on Instagram at j.elle_, that's 3 underscores, or at jjgotthis.com, and I'll see you next week.